geese. More fun than a room full of wombats. Able to reach huge audiences with a single broadcast.
Listen, coming from that speaker, it's talk radio.
It's an audio extravaganza.
It's the Outdoor Journal.
Yes, it's the Outdoor Journal radio show. Champion of equal rights for people who like to fish, hunt, camp, and otherwise play outside. Valiant, courageous fighter who fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the Canadian outdoors. And now, another exciting episode in the adventures of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Another wonderful weekend in the city. A great weekend to be in the outdoors, for sure. Thanks for joining us this morning. I'm Angelo Viola with Michael Mooring, Derek Brandeo, and Sarah Pollock, producer of the show. She's not on with us, but she was a big part of it.
She's here in spirit.
Thank you, Michael. And how are you today?
I'm doing very well, nice. I think. It's too early to tell. Yeah. I'm very sleepy, if I'm honest.
I know.
I'm going to try to fake it.
This is early in the morning for you to be coming down. What time do you get up in the morning to come and do the show?
I got to set my alarm for like 10 to 6.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad. It's what time I get up to do the show.
Well, you're
and I'm here already.
You're superhuman. Everyone knows that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. big day, big weekend, big everything, big show. Big show. But before we get on to today's show, a couple of very important announcements, Michael. First and foremost, the most important announcement of the day. I've been waiting for the press release on this one, and it just came through this morning. The National Hot Dog Eating Competition will go on as usual. They have not postponed it.
Finally, some good news.
Some good news, with this pandemic.
Once.
You know, I mean, it's outdoors, so it's outdoors, but they will not have an audience. They won't have a live audience, which is a shame. All six of people will be sent home. So normal audience is not. But let me tell you something. The legendary Joey Chestnut is going to be there to see if he can go for his unprecedented 12th victory in a row, Michael. 12 victories. An interesting interview in the paper this morning. He says that he's been practicing. He's eating up to 90 pounds a week getting ready for this contest. 90 pounds of hot dogs a week.
Oh, my God.
A week. 90 pounds. That's how he practices for the event. So he's very confident that he will once again be victorious and be the reigning world hot dog eating champion. So I would lead that off because that's
I'd be lying if I said that I hadn't come close to eating 90 pounds of hot dogs per week myself during this isolation.
True. Oh my God. The other big story, I want to preface this by thanking the folks at the Fan. You know, those of you who listen to the program regularly, you know, I've been here, way too long. Been doing the show for almost 3 decades, and it's been uninterrupted and continuous with the odd little blip here and there. But I think what we've done is we've gone to a pre-record for those odd little blimps. Whenever we've been able to, even from the road, broadcast the show, we've always done it. And I said to you all at the beginning of this pandemic that we were going to continue broadcasting until it was humanly possible. And we were going to be here every Saturday for you, and we have been. However, I have to tell you, after much deliberation with the folks at the Fan, Dave Cadeau and Gibby and Tim and all the people at Rogers, it was decided we're going to take the month of July off, and I'll tell you what's going on and why. As most of you know, we also have another little product that we produce called the Fishing Canada Show. And we have been in lockdown ever since the beginning of May. And actually, April, we started lockdown. Yeah, April. And so what's happened, it's put us way behind in our scheduling for the Fish in Canada show. And now that everything seems to be slowly opening up for us, we're anticipating that we're going to have to hit the ground running for the next 6 to 8 weeks, just to try, forget catching up, because we won't catch up, but just to try and maintain our schedule for the 2021 Fish in Canada broadcast season. So not to jeopardize that, we've made a decision along with the folks at the Fan. Like I said, Dave Cadeau was a big part of this decision. And once again, I thank them all for their support and understanding. We are going to take the month of July and see where we're at the end of July and finish the Fish in Canada show or do what we need to do there. And then we'll see about coming back when that is all nice and tidy and put on the shelf ready to go. Just wanted everybody to know that. And it's not something we just made a decision on this morning. Trust me, we've been deliberating on this one for a couple of weeks now. So, and it's a hard decision for me personally because I have been so committed to this program. Like I said, for almost 30 years, with the odd exception, I even did this show. Michael, you're probably not aware of this. I one time, I hosted this show from the valet stand at, a Las Vegas, hotel.
Wow.
Because that was the only place we could get a signal to work for it properly. So I did it from the valet stand.
That's so, devotion.
That's right devotion. There. Yeah. So anyways, once again,
Do you even remember what a Saturday feels like?
No. No, I don't. I don't. So it's going to be interesting. But then again, I'm going to be off the radio show, but I'm going to be on the road shooting the Fish Cash show. So really, am I going to know what Saturday is
like?
Probably
not.
Probably not. But anyways, regardless, we will get it all done. This is a first for all of us, as I'm sure most of the listening audience will agree. And so we do things that we need to do to survive and make things work. And that's what's been happening. This is no different. But like I said, it's going to be a little different for me. Regardless, you can check our progress to see how we're doing in terms of scheduling, by going to fishingcanada.com periodically and checking us out. And, we'll try and post information there on, the radio show and where it's at, or odjradio.com as well. You can reach us out. Alrighty, moving on, as they say. First of all, I want to remind folks about the Mercury 2.5 giveaway. Don't forget, we've got a brand new contest running. Congratulations to our June winner, Dave Smith. That sounds like a fictitious name if I ever heard one. I've used that one before myself, actually.
He's real. He's very much real.
Oh, okay. Dave Smith from Houston, British Columbia. I did not even know that there was a Houston in British Columbia.
Neither did I.
Do we know where it is, like approximately, geographically speaking?
I'd be lying if I said that I did.
Don't lie to me.
I won't. I hate it
when you lie to me. David Smith from Houston, British Columbia. Now, get this. David entered. You know how I keep harping on everybody? Make sure you get in there every day. The more ballots you put in, the better your chances of winning and all that stuff. And I know you think I sound like an old lady. Just not that there's anything wrong with old ladies, by the way. Don't want to offend any old ladies with that. But you know, that I'm harping on you. Well, listen to this. David Smith from Houston, British Columbia, who is now the proud owner of brand new Mercury four-stroke engine, he entered 339 times. 339 times in order to win. So these aren't flukes, ladies and
that
gentlemen.
That is devotion.
That is dedication and devotion. You're absolutely right. But anyways, we still have the good news is we still have five motors to give away. So for the next 5 months, you too could be the David Smith of the future by winning your
That's
own.
Right.
And while you're there for your troubles, which, by the way, it's absolutely free to enter if you're not aware of that, don't forget to enter the boat motor trailer contest, just as a side little side bit, you know. It's absolutely free as well. It's a beautiful Princecraft Yukon 14 a WT, which stands for walkthrough. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it, Michael, but it's got that new walkthrough concept. So you're not stepping over top of seats.
Like I have seen
you
it.
See it's gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
And it comes fully equipped with its own Mercury motor, a 20 horsepower EFI four stroke, latest technology from Mercury, on a custom made trailer. You win that whole damn thing. Absolutely free, and all you have to do is go to fishingcanada.com, fill out the form, answer a skill testing question. It's an A, B, C, or D, and if you don't know the answer, there's a hint button that you push, and it will take you to the answer. It don't get any easier than that.
It's foolproof.
Thank you. So that's all happening at fishincanada.com. Don't you dare forget to enter.
Now, I got some interesting news about Houston, B.C., or not news, but information.
Yes.
You'll never forget this. It turns out Houston is known as the steelhead capital, okay, and it's home to the world's largest fly fishing rod. This is information that you should know. I'm
like
surprised.
You just got that now?
I plugged it into the old Wikipedia here. And
wow. And how long is that world's longest fishing rod, by the way?
I might have to do some additional research.
Where is Houston, B.C.?
It looks like it's kind of central B.C.
On the coast, in the mountains?
It's hard to say with this. I maybe spoke prematurely. I haven't finished my my research.
Nicely done, Michael. I'm impressed. Look at that, eh? Multitasking. Wonderful program we have today. Very, very excited about this. Accomplished angler and founder of the Ontario Women's Anglers, Yvonne Brown, who's been on the program several times. Well, she's being acknowledged by the fishing community for her contributions to the sport of fishing. She is this year's recipient of the CSIA's, that's the Canadian Sport Fishing Industry Association, in case you were wondering, President's Award. And she is the first female recipient to win this award, so good on her. Good for Yvonne. And she's been also appointed by the Fishing and Wildlife Heritage Commission, an agency under the MNRF. By the way, did I mention we have the boss from the MNRF on the show today? Well, let me tell you, he is. I'll tell you about him in a minute. Under the order of the Lieutenant Governor of Ontario, she has been appointed to that commission, which is a very prestigious deal going on. Look at her. Look at Yvonne. Who would have thunk? Anyway, she's going to be on the program to talk to us about that and all other things that she is up to. The annual Free Family Fishing Week traditionally starts in early July. Traditionally, I say that because this is anything but a traditional year for us. This year, it's been extended for an additional week, starting today, July 4th, to July 19th. This means that Ontario residents of all ages can enjoy fishing in Ontario without having to purchase a license or carry an outdoors card for 2 whole weeks. Phew. 2 whole weeks. The Honorable John Jakubowski, Minister of Natural Resources and Forestry and MPP for Renfrew and Nipissing Pembroke, will be joining us to talk about that and more. Samuel Wilmot. If I said Wilmot, does that name ring anything to you significantly? Does it mean anything, Samuel Wilmot?
Should it?
I'm asking you.
I can't lie to you. I can't lie to you.
Don't lie to me. This is not.
But this is why I tune in, so that you can educate me.
Enlighten you.
Exactly.
All
right. I'm unenlightened.
Right. Well, let me tell you something. I first read that name, Wilmot, when I was about 12 years old. I hitchhiked to the Wilmot Creek, which is near Bowmanville, Ontario. And that's when I first became familiar with it, Wilmot Creek. And then later on, a couple of years later, I saw that same name on a sign on the Wilmot Creek, the upper reaches of it. And it was applied, the sign was applied to a fish hatchery collection box. And that's where I first saw it. And anyways, the interesting thing here is that Samuel Wilmot, he led Canada's first culture program between 1868 and 1895. And Wilmot established a hatchery in Newcastle, Ontario. And that's the same one that I first saw when I was just a kid. And he intended to save the Lake Ontario salmon. Of course, the Lake Ontario salmon back then was the Atlantic salmon, not the cohos and chinooks that we are familiar with today. It was the Atlantic salmon, which was prevalent in Lake Ontario right up until the early 1800s. And then it became extinct. Well, Samuel Wilmot decided that he wanted to change that. So in 1868, he started this whole fish culture business on the Wilmot to see if he could do that. Well, as we know, that didn't happen. And we've spent another 100 years after that trying to make it happen. Just can't seem to get them back. Anyways, the hatchery is credited for the existence of several game species in the province of Ontario and for laying the groundwork for conservation measures. And today, Wilmot Creek, which bears his name, is considered one of the best fishing streams in the province. Ingenium. Ingenium. You know what that is?
I haven't a clue.
You haven't a clue. Look at you this morning learning all this stuff free of charge. Not only free of charge, you get paid to learn. Wow. Ingenium, Canada's agriculture and food museum in Ottawa, well, they're currently trying to transcribe an old book, a 900-page book that was found from Samuel Wilmot's collection. And they're trying to transcribe it and try and make some sense out of it is what they're trying to do. Joining us this morning will be Dr. William Knight, who is a curator of agriculture, food, and fisheries with Ingenium, and he'll tell us more. Our good friend Keith Beasley. I have not talked to Keith since the last time he was on this show, which is an embarrassment for me personally, to be very frank with you. I don't know where the time has gone these last few months. Oh, I know. I've been busy too. Pandemanium. How's that? Pandemanium. Yeah. We've all been busy. But anyways, he's going to be on the show to tell us how he's coping with this insanity that we're all caught up in. Of course, he is the producer of Canada and Ruff along with his brothers. And they're having the same issues that we're having in terms of getting out on the road. So we'll speak to him, and he'll let us know how they're coping. That looks to be about it. A lot of show here to cover, my friends. But first, a little behind-the-scenes look at today's nationally televised Canada's favorite fishing show on Global Television Network, coast to coast to coast. It's called the Fishing Canada Show. And today's episode... Oh, I'm not on it either. My co-host, Mr. Bowman, goes brookie fishing in brookie country on this particular episode. In fact, I think it's called brookie country. No, it's called Richie's Back Lake Specs. Richie's Back Lake Specs. Were you on that shoot, Michael?
I certainly was. Huh.
Did you miss me while you guys were there?
I miss you on every shoot that you're not on, actually.
Thank you.
You were very much missed last year. You've had two rough years.
I know. I'm going to make a comeback, though. You watch me go.
I'm looking forward to it.
Anyways, this episode is a great episode. If you're into speckled trout, man, you do not want to miss this show. It's airing right now on Global Television Network, coast to coast. Of course, if you're listening to this program, you might not be watching television. So go to fishingcanada.com and look up Richie's Back Lake Specs, and they will tell you everything you need to know about where to catch this exciting episode. That's fishingcanada.com. More journal after this, don't you dare go away.
From the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft, here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
Well, the cycle of life moves on. The kids, meaning our daughters Erin and son-in-law Drew, have bought a cottage for their two young ones, two little girls named Morgan and Briar, who are age 5 and 2. It's not on our beloved Baptiste Lake near Bancroft, where we had a small cottage and then a larger lake home for close to 25 years, but on Round Lake, just a few miles from Pembroke near Killaloe. It's at the end of the lake near the McCarthy Cottage where Erin spent many a summer weekend with high school friends who largely remain good friends today. It's amazing. Ottawa, it seems, has a magnet of its own. The new cottage, which is a summer seasonal and nothing else, is 500 meters from the McCarthy Cottage, which is just far enough away and not too far, if you know what I mean. Where the cottage is located, it has miles and miles of sandy beach, but the water is shallow, and I mean real shallow. You have to wade out forever just to get your chest wet. This means a boat lift will have to be 100 yards or more from shore, which is not exactly ideal, but they are young, and so what the hell? Me, I'll sit in the lawn chair and just watch. I couldn't ask for anything more on a warm summer's day. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 59, The Phantom, Angelo Viola. And over there is Michael Mooring, along with Derek Brandeo. Who else is involved? Sarah Pollock does the assembly of the show. I mean, we have the whole team. The whole team is rejoicing because they're going to have a summer off. That's kind of cool. That's different. It'd be interesting to see what kind of mayhem ensues after that. Bradley Schlorf, time to play it safe. How are you, buddy?
Well, except for you and Pete, I think I've been around the longest, so not having to hit up people like Brian Adkin and Whaley to bail me out on a Saturday is not a bad idea for the summer.
I figured you'd enjoy that. Sorry I didn't get to you earlier in the week to let you know. It was a decision that was difficult for all of us to make, and although we've been, you know, talking about it with the folks at the Fan now for the last couple of weeks, it wasn't until yesterday we finally made the decision to not take a chance as things open up and all hell's about to break loose for us in terms of travel. I figured let's get her done and get it finished so we can get back to some sort of normalcy and get back in the saddle.
So based on some previous history, what's the Fan going to fill the spot with? Maybe 2 hours worth of soccer dialogue?
Don't say that. Be nice. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happened. My thinking, I could be totally wrong. My thinking is maybe the golf show will slide down into that 8 o'clock time. So I don't know. That's up to Dave Cadeau and his team. And they've done a spectacular job for years filling the schedule with product that listenership wants to hear. And I'm sure this will be no different. And before you know it, we will be back, as they say. We'll see. See how it goes, man. You know, it's an exciting time. And as much as it's, quite frankly, pissing all of us off, it's an exciting time because this is like pioneering now. We're all experiencing things that we've never seen or done before. And certainly we're in that position right now from a television production standpoint. We're looking at filling a season that normally takes us the better part of 7 months to produce. We're trying to now we've convinced ourselves that we're going to do it in 2.5 months, 3 months. So it's exciting. It's exciting. Exciting times to be in this business, man. Anyways.
There's going to be a lot of miles put on that truck.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, you got that right. I was reading yesterday, I did find a little bit of time to do some reading, believe it or not, that boat sales are up this year, which I found really surprising. But we're in a bit of a mini boom right now for the marine industry, the boat industry especially. It seems that folks are finding boats the perfect solution to the pandemic because they're able to isolate themselves and their family and or people in that bubble on a boat. And so more boats are being sold right now than previous years, which is very exciting, being somebody who is connected to the industry like we are. However, I'm also very concerned, Bradley, and that is because as more and more boats get out on the water, that opens up a lot of potential problems, some of which we've heard about this week. Maybe you care to elaborate.
Well, to start with, it kind of ties in nice with Mark's thing. If you got to walk 100 yards in the sandy water up to your knees to get to the boat lift at the new cottage, because there was an article yesterday that cottage sales are up by 25%.
Wow. Wow.
So do these two things mean that more novices are going to be out on the water, and then what happens?
Exactly. And that's my biggest concern because, you know, for some reason, we take boat driving, if you will, or piloting, however you want to call it. We take it, for some reason, it seems that we view it as being less, you need to be less responsible than when you're driving a vehicle on one of our roads and highways. Which is not true.
And some of the things that Sarah's plucked out of the media in the last few days really point you're right. You know, so there's a boat crash on Cashy Lake. There's a boat crash in Lauerberg Lake near Kingston. And, of course, the one person there gets touched up for impaired, and he failed to stay at the scene. Nobody hurt real bad in either one of them, though. A boat flipped over in Rice Lake. OPP dive unit have to get one of the three occupants out of there. When the dive unit gets them out of there, it's their last boating trip. An impaired boater in Midland, Midland Bay. And that one, you know, the good detachment, likely Constable Chris Beattie, gets a picture of all the beer that he had in the boat with him. And, you know, you go for a little cruise in the boat and you got to take 25 beers with you.
Oh,
Now, two of them are Budweiser Prohibition, one of my beverages of choice, which is a 0% alcohol beer that tastes like real beer, but the 25 other ones weren't. So
yeah.
Where does the stupid stop?
My friend, if the stupid stopped, we wouldn't have a job. Let's put it that way.
Well, I don't really. I'm retired.
Oh, that's true, too. I forgot. I keep forgetting that you're retired. It's hard to get used to, man. Hard to get used to. What's happening this weekend?
Well, the other thing is the former crack research department and Chris Whaley have been bailing back and forth about photo radar in Toronto. And found an article that somebody stole one of the permanent mounted photo radar installations.
Stole one?
Stole one. Like, well, what are you going to do with that?
How do you even steal one? Aren't those things like aren't they on a metal pole and bolted and locked and all that stuff?
This one looked kind of more like one of those things that you pay for your parking passes. Looked like it was sitting on the side of the road, but as John pointed out, it weighs as much as a moose.
I'm laughing, but you know what? You just conjured up images of my childhood. Now, I'm going to throw this out.
Stealing parking meters or?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to throw this out with a disclaimer, you know. I heard about this story from somebody, but kids actually sawed down a parking meter with a hacksaw. It took about 4 hours of three kids hacksawing this post so that they could get a parking meter. By the way, of which, from what I understand, they couldn't do anything with because they couldn't open it anyways. So, sanity.
Probably make a good ball opener in your college room.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways. All right, my friend, I will let you get off to your summer, and you be safe out there, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Okie dokie, you too. See you later.
Bradley Slorf, retired staff sergeant with the Ontario Provincial Police, our in-house safety expert on Outdoor Journal Radio, and he keeps us on the straight and narrow whenever necessary.